This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, happy Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in a very stormy Ocala, Florida.
I am Jamie Jennings, and I'm coming at you live from Flag Is Up Farms in Solvang, California. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 2nd, episode 1752, brought to you today by horselovers.com. Good morning, horse world.
Everybody up, rise and shine. It's a new day.
It's Wednesday, Wednesday, Wednesday.
Here we can go again.
Ooh, and away we go.
Well, good morning, everybody. I just wanted to warn our live listeners that are on this morning that we just have a series of thunderstorms rolling through here in Ocala now. And if we get cut off, we'll be back. We had a couple really nasty storms, and it did knock our power out for about 10 seconds here or there. If that happens, then we all go off the air. But we'll be back.
Yeah, same for me. This weather in Southern California is just brutal. I mean,
are you enjoying these 80 degrees, beautiful weather?
What is hilarious is that it's like 85 as a high, and everybody here is like, I'm dying. It's so hot.
You're going, like, oh, winter. It's nice.
This is warm. This is cooler. I'm sorry. This is cooler than the temperature when I get up in the morning to ride. You spoiled jerks.
It's all what you get used to, though. It really is.
Exactly.
We walked outside this morning because a storm front was moving in. Apparently, it might develop into a tropical front, they said. And it was just that morning. You remember living in Georgia, you go outside and it's like 85 degrees and humid, 100% humidity already. And you walk out still dark and it's like, ugh. It's like, it was that kind of morning this morning. Hey,
what?
We're having a better day than this bicyclist did in British Columbia. So he's a serious bicyclist, and he's riding down the road in British Columbia on his bicycle and his spandex and the whole thing. And he's just motoring along, and all of a sudden, this guy pulls up beside him in a car and starts honking his horn like crazy. And he didn't know what the heck was going on. And then a second vehicle comes up and starts honking his horn like crazy. And the guy in the car yells over to him, hey, you've got a grizzly bear chasing you. And the grizzly bear was like 20 feet behind him.
Oh, hell no.
So he was just riding along. He didn't hear the grizzly bear coming up. If it hadn't been for this car, very good chance the grizzly might have caught him. So the car stopped and got between him and the grizzly bear and started honking their horns, and it eventually scared the grizzly bear away. Or Lord knows what would have happened to this poor guy on the bicycle.
All of a sudden, it's a sprint, not a marathon.
Now, they have this on video. I will post it on our Horses in the Morning page here in a little while. And so you can watch the one. Of course, the lady in the car started rolling immediately, with the camera, because that's what we do today. And so I don't know what would have happened. But they said the guy took off faster than he's probably ever pedaled in his life. But he did.
Wow.
Yeah. That'd been a bad day, huh?
Pedal faster.
Do you think the bear was actually after him or just racing to see if he could beat the bicyclist?
I don't think that predators run for fun.
Good point.
Typically.
Bears can hit like 35 miles an hour. They can book.
So, No, he could have been in big trouble. Hey, your wife is out with the veterinarian right now. Nothing major, just getting Nigel a Coggins and Helser. No, Coggins, just Coggins.
Right.
So what are we doing today?
Well, on today's...
It's weird without her here.
It is kind of weird. On today's show, we're by ourselves, so we're going to be calling guests live on the show today. We have coming up the winner of the Kentucky Extreme Mustang Makeover Youth Division. Her name is Rachel Bennett, and she's coming up to talk to us about how she did that. And then we have a very special guest coming up a little bit later, and we'll talk more about that. It's not horse-related, more personal on my behalf. And then I'm very excited that we're finally reading a book on the air that I can get behind. And that's Lisa Wysocki is coming up, and you're going to start on chapter one of The Opium Equation, which was her first book. We went through some hoops to get permission from her publisher to do this. It's been a long time. When was it that you read that crappy book you read?
About 47 years ago.
It seems like it, actually. It was when we first started, wasn't it?
And mind you, it is not a crappy book. It is a piece of classic literature. You just are tasteless. And it is called Black Beauty, not a crappy book.
Yeah,
I read that on the air, and Glenn complained and moaned and whined. And
For about a year.
For the whole time it took. And we had Nigel, the British eventing announcer, introduce it, all the segments. It was great. And I got so tired of hearing you whine that I'm really excited to read this book and not hear you whine.
I'm for it. I'm all for it. Of course, Lisa's, you know, she's one of our favorites, and she writes great books, and she includes us. So Black
this
Beauty didn't have us in it.
Well, it had my heart. Okay. So check this out. The last sentence of she is the master of putting the last sentence on the chapter, just the biggest page turner. So I sat down and started reading it, and all of a sudden I'm like chapter five. I'm like, I just had to focus on one, but it sucks you in. You'll be sucked in.
And we're going to do every Wednesday at the end of the show on Wednesday, we're going to do one chapter. Is that right?
Yes, one chapter, and then boom, the show ends. There's no discussion. There's no nothing. Just read it, and the show's over.
You wish you could have done that during Black Beauty. See, we did it in the middle of the show, and then you had to put up with me whining after.
The rest of the show. Yeah, it's terrible.
So I think this was your scheme to make sure I didn't.
Yeah.
Yes.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever
it takes.
All right. Daily Winnie time. Well, my daily Winnie, wow, it's a bunch of these.
Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy, happy birthday to you.
I have three birthdays today. Auditor Danielle Rigby, happy birthday to you. It was your birthday yesterday, but I am never missing an auditor birthday again. I'm adamant about not missing auditor birthdays.
You get in trouble.
I got in trouble last time. Host Piper Clem, of course, host of the Plaidcast, it's her birthday today. And Linda Kitzmiller, mom of Mary Kitzmiller. So it's her birthday today as well. So happy birthday to all of you.
My daily Winnie goes out to, I don't know. I don't know who it is. And nobody knows who it is.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Because, you know, John T. Evans, the Irish rider who's trying to secure the ride on his
horse. Oh, yeah. We had him on the show a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. So check this out. This is why the daily Winnie goes to somebody I don't know. Somebody just made a donation of £150,000.
Whoa. Because he was running pretty short. He needed $500,000. He was up to, what, 150 or something.
Now he's up to, like, 280. So he still has a ways to go. And they're actually doing a auction where you can get a lesson with Andrew Nicholson. You can get a straw of semen from Arts, the horse's sire, Courage 2. You can also get a two-night stay in Rourke's Drift Hotel in South Africa. So they've already raised over £6,000 from the auction. So if you want to help out Cooley Rourke's Drift, then please help. And he's getting closer. I mean, again, £150,000 somebody just gave. Do you think they're pissed now that they didn't bid on the Andrew Nicholson lesson? Like, you mean there was an auction that I could have got a lesson?
I think whoever donated £150,000 could afford to pay for a lesson with Andrew Nicholson.
You make a very good point. So far, he's raised £283,501.
Well, I hope that they can make this all work. He was on the eventing radio show last week, too. And, you know, it's a hard road. I mean, that's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. So I hope he makes it.
You must be a really good person, you know, to have support like that. Just awesome. I hope he makes it.
Well, speaking of making it, Los Angeles made it to host the 2028 Summer Olympics. And Paris gets 2024. And all I'm going to say is I hope France does the Olympics better than they did WAG last time.
Why you gotta go negative?
This will be the third time that it's been hosted in both cities. Now, Los Angeles was really trying to get it for 2024, and their claim to fame, their argument was, look, we don't need to build infrastructure. We already have stadiums. We have everything that we need here. Paris has to build a bunch of stuff. So that was their argument, but Paris apparently won in the end, and then Los Angeles was happy to take 2028. So this Los Angeles did it in 1932 and again in 1984. Paris hosted it in 1900 and then again in 1924. But weren't they in France? They must have been somewhere in France more recently, because remember the opening ceremonies with the bubble people?
That was
France, wasn't it?
No, wasn't that China?
No, I think the bubble people was France. I have to look that up, because it was the craziest opening ceremonies ever. And I thought that was France. But I have to look it up. Maybe it was just wasn't in Paris. I have to look that up. Do you remember the bubble people?
No, not really.
Maybe that was before your time. You might have been a youngster. But the last time it was held in the U.S., of course, was your city in Atlanta in 1996.
ATL, so. Baby. Good times. Good times.
And of course, Salt Lake City in 2002 was the Winter Games. But so that's very exciting. And you actually live within, you'll be in Oklahoma then, won't you? You'll be a little further away.
I know. My first thought was, oh my gosh, I can totally drive to the Olympics. And then I'm like, LA is going to be a lot farther by then. Plus, I think driving into Los Angeles for that would be a traffic nightmare. I mean, Atlanta traffic is bad. And then we added to it all the Olympic stuff. And there were so many times that people didn't make it to events, because I'm including the show jumping for eventing. I was parked outside. I got in. I saw the last two rides because of traffic. I can't imagine how difficult it's going to be in LA to get to all of these, because it's not like there's a New York subway system. There's just not. So maybe that's why they got the one 4 years later. They're like, y'all put in a subway, then we'll do it.
Well, the other problem is you might be hosting this show by yourself by then, because that's like 11 years from now and I'll be old. So
you are old. So just hang in there. If Monty Roberts can work horses at 82 years old, then you can sit in a chair and talk about horses.
Okay. I'll give it a try. What's that, 11 years from now? I'll be like 66.
I'll be really old, too. So.
We can both be there with our canes and our walkers covering the Olympics.
When the Olympics happens, all of you listening to this, sit and think about where you were 11 years ago when it was announced. Okay?
That's right. Listening to us.
Listening to us, talking about this, talking about how old we're all going to be, and then there you go. You'll remember us fondly. We'll be long gone.
I'll tell you who will probably be there competing is Laura Graves. Laura Graves and Verdades just got number two ranking in the world by the FEI in dressage. So, of course, right behind Isabel Wirth. But
has America never had that?
Yes. Actually, several times they've had it, but not for a while.
Oh, Stephen Peters.
Yeah, Stephen Peters had it back in 2009, of course, with Ravel. And then back a long time ago, Debbie McDonald and Lisa Wilcox were frequently ranked as number two from 2003 to 2005. So they have had it. Yeah. They have had it for a long time. Now, of course, all of the names I'm going to give you, Laura Graves, Casey Perry Glass, it was ranked number 16, dropped from 18, so gained two rankings. Olivia Lagoy-Welts is number 38, down from 53rd, and Charlotte Jorst was down to, or is at 50, the 50th spot. All of those have been regular guests on the Dressage Radio Show. So, and they're all friends of Reese and Phillips. So if you want to hear, I'm sure they'll have more of them coming up here very shortly. And I know they're trying to get Laura on. But Laura is just kicking butt. So good job for her.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yep. All right. I am going to attempt to give a call live here because...
Okay, and I'll explain who we're going to talk to. We're going to talk to Rachel Bennett. And Rachel won the Mustang Makeover in Lexington. And our auditor, Allison Elfrink, was kind enough to send us her information, because She was there, I believe, and watched the whole entire thing. And so this was the Mustang Makeover Youth Tip Challenge. Hello, you are on the air, Rachel. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
Fantastic. We kind of had to call you live on the air because some technical stuff. So we appreciate you being on. And I was just trying to describe to everybody who you are. Where are you from?
I am from Tennessee.
Okay. What part?
I'm from Jamestown, Tennessee.
Jamestown, Tennessee. Okay. And so congratulations on being the Mustang Makeover winner. And I guess what's the exact title of what you won?
I won the overall division in the Extreme Mustang Makeover Youth and Yearling division. So I just won the overall title there. So yeah, that's the, title I took home. It was really incredible. So, yeah, it was an incredible experience.
Okay. Let's back up and let's talk about why you wanted to do this.
So I was at the point, I have two, horses and I was really focusing on under saddle work with them. So I was wanting to really dive deeper into the aspect of groundwork. Now, I had done groundwork with my other two horses a lot, but I just wasn't, that wasn't my main focus with them. So I really wanted to really grow my horsemanship knowledge and groundwork. So what better way to do that than with a completely untouched wild Mustang? So that's the reason I wanted to get into it, to just grow my knowledge of groundwork and be a better horse person. I'm always looking for ways to expand my knowledge. So I felt like that was the best way to do that at the time.
Cool. And so this is a challenge where it, like you said, it's on the ground. There's no riding because it's a younger Mustang, right?
Yes. They're 12 to 24 months old. And when I got my Mustang, he was about a year and a month or a year and 2 months approximately.
Was he born in the wild or was he facility born?
He was born in the wild. He was, from Izzy, Oregon, in a place called Murderers Creek, and he was taken off the range at 5 months old and then taken to the holding facility where okay. I got him.
And what's his name? Tell us about him.
His name is Troubadour. He's a bay, and he's just he has a really great personality. He's super sweet, super loving, just always looking to please. So he was just an incredible Mustang to work with. He just has so much personality.
So little bay gelding goes out there and was there a lot of, because I'm always interested in kind of the draw. How do you get him as your horse as up? Do you pick him or do they just give him to you? Do you go, how's that work?
It's randomly assigned. So when we went to go pick him up in Ewing, Illinois at the holding facility there, you kind of go into a room and they give you paperwork and all kinds of stuff. And they have a Mustang assigned to you there. You had a preference of a mare or gelding, but, I didn't really put a preference. So it was all completely, random. So they just give you a number, a neck tag, and you can go out and kind of try to look in the holding pens to see if you can find your Mustang. So they just give you a neck tag and that's what you get.
So they give you this neck tag, but you just back up your trailer and they kind of cut them out of the herd for you there. And
yep, they just kind of round them out of their little small pens that they have them kept in for the event. So they just kind of round them out of there, put them through a chute, and you back your trailer in, and they just run them through the chute and into the trailer.
So what does it look like when you get this guy home? You get him kind of off of the trailer and into wherever he's going to live. What is the first thing that you do with him? Walk us through the process.
So when we unloaded him off the trailer, I didn't really want to push him too much. So I just kind of walked around in the round pen and I had him in a round pen attached to a small barn so that he could maneuver in either wherever he wanted. If there was storms, he could go into the shelter, but he had a nice little area to run around in. So I just kind of walked around the round pen, just kind of wanting to get a taste for his personality and what he was going to be like, if he was going to be aggressive or flighty, that kind of thing. So I just kind of walked around, watching him, watching his body language and things like that. And I didn't get to touch him that first night. I just kind of walked around. He wouldn't let me get near him. He wasn't overly scared, but he just was not let me touch him or get close to him. So I was just watching his behavioral patterns and things like that. So that's what I did the first day I got him.
Can I ask you a minorly personal question? And that is, how old are you?
I am 16. I was 15 at the time when I got him.
Good Lord, Glenn, are you listening
yeah,
to this?
Yeah, I was just when thinking was 16, she sounds like she's 35 maturity-wise.
Disaster. Like, this is awesome. Okay, so you're 16, you're 15 at the time.
Okay, but let me follow that up, though. Have you been doing this, like, forever since you were in the diapers or what?
I have been doing this since I was 8. I didn't grow up in a horse family, just kind of have been fascinated with horses since I was really little. So I started riding when I was 8.
What struck me, though, Jamie, is we're going to talk like you're not here now, Rachel. So what struck me is her saying she wanted to, she did all this to improve her horsemanship. You don't hear that very often. So that's what struck me at the beginning of that conversation.
Gotcha. Well, so talk to us a little bit about that first touch. How'd you get it?
So I kind of wanted to put him in a smaller area, so it just wasn't so big. And so I had a pretty large stall, so I kind of, that was attached to the round pen. So I kind of just herded him into the little stall and kind of slowly walked up to him. And you could, he was shaking, he was nervous, but I just slowly walked up to him and put my hand on his neck and I rubbed him just a small amount. And he was so nervous, he didn't try to, run, he didn't try to strike or anything. So I was reading his body language. You know, if he would have showed signs of aggression, I probably would have taken a different approach, but I felt like it was a safe situation. So I just walked up, and when I got to touch his neck, I immediately walked away and I backed off. And so I did that a couple times. I just walked and stroked him and scratched him, and then I walked away. And I kept doing that, and I kept just building that trust with him until I could take off his neck tag. And so I just kept doing that with him until he was pretty comfortable with me coming up and touching his neck. And just that building the trust with him was what I was really trying to do that first day. So we did that, and then I clipped the leader up on him. He already was haltered. The BLM or the people that were at the holding facility haltered him for me. And so I clipped the lead rope on, and then it just kind of all started to come after that. You know, I worked on yielding the hindquarters, yielding the forequarters that first day, and just, you know, he was catching on to leading and so well. It was crazy. I couldn't believe it. So it was just all about building that first, trust with me. And that was my biggest focus that first day.
So when you are in Kentucky, so fast forward to the competition, what is the youth and Mustang tip challenge like? What do you have to do in it?
So there are three events on a span of three different days. The first day you do a handling and conditioning class, which is a set of handling maneuvers like you would be doing every day. So we had to take them into a round pen. We had to unhalter them, step out of the round pen, then come back into the round pen and halter them. We had to take them to a barrel and spray them with a spray bottle, like fly spray or something. And then we had to trot and then stop back up, pick up all 4 feet and load into a trailer.
Wow. Wow. And is that the main class, or is that the whole thing, or do you come back in? Because I remember talking to Elisa Wallace, and she had like 4 days of things that she had to do. Is this only one?
Oh, yeah. So that was just the first day. So the second day, you do a trail class. And the trail class, we had to do side passing of poles. We had to pivot in a square, and then we had to walk over a bridge, open a mailbox, back up and do a shoot. We had to do more trail-like maneuvers in that class. And then the third day is the freestyle performance, which I guess that's the pinnacle of this event. You hear a lot of people talking about the freestyle performances. So that was just, you have 3.5 minutes to put on a performance with music. You can do whatever you want and just show off your Mustang however you like. So that was all in the span of 3 days, like I said.
Okay. The question of the hour is, what was your music? What was your song?
I picked Brave by Sarah Bareilles. I think that's how you say it.
Bareilles.
That was my song that I picked. Bareilles.
Yeah, Bareilles, Sarah Bareilles. Oh, that's good.
And I'm looking, Jamie,
that.
I'm looking at her picture over here. You laid your horse down. You had the horse all dressed in purple, and you were all dressed in bright purple, tie-dyed purple, actually. But so obviously laying down was one of them because I'm looking at a picture here. What else did you do in your freestyle?
I took him over some Cavalettis, and then I walked him over a pedestal. I stood on the pedestal and I lunged him around me and did some changes of direction while I was standing on the pedestal. And we weaved through some poles. We side passed a little bit. And then of course the lay down. And then, I kind of ran out of time. No, I didn't run out of time. I had extra time at the end. So I was like, oh no, what do I do? So, I decided to canter him in hand. So I cantered him around half of the arena, running next to him while he was cantering in hand. And, so we just did, different things like that. I kind of winged it. I hadn't ran through the performance very much at home. It was all kind of last minute. Our props were last minute. So I just kind of went in there and was like, it's going to be what it is.
Well, do you know how many people hate you? So, they hate you right now.
Yeah, right. All the competitors that practice and practice and practice and practice. That's funny.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So now the next most important question, is he still with you?
He is. I don't think I could let go of him. I'm completely attached to him. He's stolen my heart and I do not think I could ever let go of him. So yes, he is still with me. He's really enjoying having a little bit of a break. So I don't think I could ever let go of him.
I got to tell
he's
you,
really
Rachel, when you saw him, you must have jumped up and down because he's cute as a Dickens. A little star in his face. I mean, he's just cute as a Dickens.
Yes, I loved him from the beginning. He's just a really, really cool horse. I've never met anybody like any horse like him. He just has an interesting personality. He's just so willing to try new things.
Have you worked with Mustangs before, or is he your first one?
He is my first Mustang. I had not worked with any other Mustangs before, so it's just a very new experience for me.
Do they auction them off at the end of the event and you had to buy them back or what? How's that work?
No, you get to keep your youth Mustang. You can reassign it, but they don't have an auction at the end of it. You can reassign your horse if you need to, but they're all adopted by you at the end of the event.
Oh my gosh. Could you imagine, Glenn, like all these kids out there with these little Mustangs and people are buying them off of them and
tears
stealing
everywhere.
Them out from under it. Yeah. Tears. That'd be a puddle on the ground. It would be a mess. Well, Rachel, we're so excited for you. Congratulations. I swear you are 35 in a 16-year-old body. So, it's a pleasure to talk to you and, I hope everything goes great. And when do you plan on getting on him?
I've probably got on him at 2.5 or 3, depending on how I feel like his body has developed. But we won't start really riding until he's 3.
Wow. Well, congratulations on the victory and winning the whole thing and the future with him.
Oh, well, thank you. I didn't expect it at all, to be honest with you. So it was a really incredible, incredible journey. I was so blessed to be a part of it. Well, thank you all for having me today. It was really fun.
Thank you, Rachel.
Absolutely. Rachel Bennett, winner of the Mustang Makeover Youth Challenge. So congratulations
and thanks to
her.
To our
and she
honor.
Got a,
I was just
she
gonna
got
say,
a neck ribbon.
Yeah, she did.
She got a neck ribbon.
She did.
A neck ribbon.
Do you see the outfit? I love her outfit. Auditor Allison, I wanted to thank her too for recommending. If you have a guest that you would like us to talk to, if you have somebody that you think's fascinating or you met at a show or whatever the story is, just send it to guest@horseradionetwork.com. guest@horseradionetwork.com, and we'll try and get them on if we can. Well, we are sponsored today by Horse Lovers. Let's hear a little bit about them. We all get in a rut when it comes to shopping for horse supplies online. If you have not tried horselovers.com yet, then you are missing out on one of the world's largest online tack shops and all the best brands like Noble Outfitters, Ariat, Turn 2, Tough One, Professional's Choice, Weaver, and many, many more. Visit horselovers.com every day to see their daily deals and flash sales. Horselovers.com has everything for the Western and trail rider. So get on over to horselovers.com today and save. Jamie, I did want to mention that right now going on today, we're recording this on Wednesday, you have to get over there soon, they have Troxel helmets on sale for up to 40% off. And Troxel has some of the cool ones with all the designs in them and stuff, and the, you know, the kind of Native American designs and things. So they have those over there. They have the leopard print ones. They have all the cool ones, the tie-dyed ones, all at 40% off. So
and you know what?
Today.
You should sign up to be a part of their email thing because they just had free shipping. And it was like an email blast. And when I was like, free shipping, which is just horribly dangerous for somebody like me. But it's free shipping. Let's buy the biggest thing we can find because it's free shipping.
Now, I think they have this one wrong because on today's flash sale, they have Ariat Ladies Western Chocolate Lizard Print Boots for $0. And I think that's probably
Okay, sold.
I think that's probably an incorrect ad. Probably not going to get it for $0. But yeah.
I don't know. But then the shipping's really expensive.
Yeah, it's the $100 for the shipping. Well, I know that you've had a couple of exciting days over at Monty's. Tell us about it.
Oh my gosh, I won the lottery is what happened. That's what happens when I'm here. The first morning I got to spend some time with just Monty and Debbie and I down at the track working on some horses that have had problems coming out of the starting gates, young race horses, young thoroughbreds, and a couple of them have really hurt some people. So it's really nice to see the incremental way that he kind of, they call it raising the fish, you know, just like making it just a little bit more challenging each time once the horse is comfortable. Like the first day, the horse wouldn't get near the starting gates and it proceeded to go like, okay, they finally got him in and they closed him in and then they opened the front door and he wouldn't leave. And then Glenn tossed the rider out the back and then ran out the front, stepped on one of the guy's foot, broke it, and ran all the way back to the barn.
Oh, that's never good.
Stuff like that can happen.
Who volunteers for this job at Monty's house, by the way?
I know the blats are a little hard. These guys that just probably don't know what they're getting themselves into.
I'm glad you didn't volunteer. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I didn't do that. Didn't. I don't qualify. I'm too old for that now. So I've got to see that. And as of yesterday morning.
Don't know, he kind of became famous for helping racehorses in the day get into the gate. He kind of became famous for that.
Well, there's a horse named Lomitas, and there's a little documentary about it who was going to be put down, was banned from racing, a German horse. Wasn't he from Germany? Yeah, a German horse named Lomitas. And that was where Monty kind of became famous for it because he took this horse that was a man eater, and the horse went on to win stakes races after Monty worked with him. That's a long story and a really great, just 10, 12 minute documentary that they actually won an Equus Film Festival award for. He's really good. He invented the blanket. He just figures out because he just speaks horse. He's part horse. How about that? And he sees what the horse is telling him or what the horse is afraid of or what the horse's issue is or whatever. He can just figure out a way to incrementally, without pain, solve the problem. And so yesterday, this horse went in the starting gates. You know, you watch it a bunch. They go in and out through and through and through. By the end, close them in, spring the gates, canter away. Huh. It was really, really beautiful.
All in one day?
This is the eighth time they've worked with him, and he's cantered out Monday and Tuesday. So it's really awesome. And so what they wanted to do at first is Monty says that a horse in the starting gates, if they're all tense and worked up, they're leaning back on the back doors. They're not ready to run. But if you have a horse that's relaxed in there, they're they're ready. They'll come out a length ahead. And that's where I think Victor Espinosa is such a great jockey, because he gets them out of the gate so well. They must be relaxed going in there because he comes out so nicely. And so it's really interesting to watch taking him through in and out, in and out, in and out. And then, you know, when they did finally close him in the first time, it was just kind of trot out, you know, just stay relaxed, make it an enjoyable experience as opposed to a tension filled disaster, you know, waiting to happen, or shove them in there and lock the door and hit them with a whip and they break out. So that is amazing. We saw the demonstration of lake and stream, and that is where it's kind of to give spooky horses the start of building confidence. And he works like on them with some plastic, which is like a big giant stick with a plastic bag on the end. And he works with them there. And then they put a big giant tarp, huge tarp, in the arena. And then from the big tarp, there's a tiny little tarp, and he calls it the lake and the stream. And the tiny tarp goes from the middle all the way to the edge. So the horse going around it has to clear part of the tarp. So the horse that was used in the demo yesterday, they were trying to find, like, what horse is spooky on the farm? What horse is spooky on the farm? Guess what horse they found? His wife Pat's complete champion show horse apparently is the spookiest thing in the world. His name is Steel Buns. So they bring Steel Buns in, and I think I posted it on my page. I'll post it a little bit. Bonnie's like, I can't believe my wife rides this horse. Like, we have to do something about this. He said it was the hardest lake and stream demo he's ever had to do. And it was his wife's champion show horse. 2 hours of it. Maybe,
well, there aren't tarps in a raining pattern, so, you know.
No, but yeah, I mean, he'll cut a cow out of a herd, but my God, don't, like, walk on plastic. And so it was so interesting, and I'm sure that this will eventually be on the online university, because it was dramatic. I mean, it was, you know, he's a cutting horse, so he has that crouch where he can crouch down and cut side to side.
Oh, it's quick, but this as was heck, like, too.
Yeah, this is like reverse cutting. He was crouched down going, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, as opposed to like attack mode. It was like retreat mode in the cutting world. So that was really amazing. And you know what? They have made me do something here, Glenn. I have been given a task, and it's just torture. Just absolute torture, something I have to do every single day, and I'm going to have to do it again today. And I've been given the task of riding Monty's horse, Chrome. It's horrible, I tell you.
It's tough. It's probably not broke, and, you know, it just goes, oh, yeah, God. It's just terrible.
I posted a picture of me kissing his nose saying, Chad, can we keep him? And everybody's like, oh, my God, you're going to get another horse. I'm like, yeah, if I had $1 million, then maybe I could afford him.
I wonder if that's the one they let me ride.
No.
No? Okay.
No. He's not a willing partner's horse. He's Monty's horse. And if you've seen him bring Chrome to demos and Chrome online, you can Google him. It's just an absolutely incredible horse. And Monty's going to ride him tomorrow for the class.
So what did you get to do with him?
So I've been given the task of trotting, Glenn. But the problem is I don't really ride Western, nor...
That horn getting away?
No, yeah. And so Debbie had to give me a lesson on how to hold the reins. And apparently, I mean, it was ugly. I was holding them in the wrong hand, first of all. Second of all, then I switch them to the other hand. She's like, no, your grip has to be like this. And so I really am not so good at knowing my Western technique. And the other thing,
was it weird not knowing what to do with the other hand?
I'm like, would I hold a phone? Just
what do I do with that? Now you know why all the reiners kind of hold it in a weird position. It's like, yeah.
Well, she told me I had basically how to put you put your hand on your right thigh and you put your right hand. And I'm like, I can't ride with the reins in my left hand. That just feels so weird. And then I realized that it's because you're supposed to have a rope in your right hand.
Or a pistol on your right hip.
Or a pistol. Yeah, there you right. go.
Gun that was the first here. Reason way back
then. Yeah, exactly.
It was also your sword hand, actually, was the first reason. It was your sword hand.
Sword. Yes, it was my sword. That's why you mount from the left, because your sword's in your left hip.
Yeah, that's right.
So anyway, so I'm riding him, and it's a challenge because I ride these Aventors or quick little Mustangs, but they're all very quick to trot. And Chrome is not so quick to trot. It's like he looks up at me. It's like he turned around and he goes, oh, yeah, 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 good luck. Because they have that. He doesn't when Monty's riding him, but with me, he gave me that Western shuffle, you know? And I'm like, go, come on, giddy up. Yeah, go. And he's like, I am not an Aventer. I am not going to trot for you. I'm just going to amble. And so, of course, I'm supposed to get him kind of keep getting him fit. And so it did not.
So he's now amble fit after yesterday?
He can amble with the best of them. He can amble for days. But I did also take him out on a, as I did my 20 minutes of trotting, and I did it. I broke it up. It wasn't straight 20 minutes. My butt couldn't take it. Because guess what happens if you post while you're trotting on Chrome?
Yeah.
He canters.
Oh.
I don't know what I'm telling him, but you sit and then you try. You're like, oh my God, I need a break, because it's like this doing, da doing, da doing, da doing. I mean, it's beautiful and amazing and that's awesome, but my butt is not used to a Western saddle and it's wider than
it's
I'm
hard
used
to believe
to.
That it is that different, right? I mean, and because you think, oh, it's just English and Western, but it is really different.
Somebody said, isn't it more comfortable? I'm no, because my butt bones aren't adjusted. And then like the inside of my thighs where it's just wider. And then I have to do 20 minutes of sitting trot.
Might not have been exactly your size either. You're kind
no,
of
it's huge. Yeah. My saddle. Okay. So I'm sitting back and I did 20 minutes of trotting at an amble where you're having to like kind of squeeze and keep them going the whole time. And so that was challenging. And so yesterday after my trot set where my ass was screaming at me, I took him on a trail ride. I'm like, let's walk the farm. I don't think a horse has ever walked the farm that slow. I seriously feel like a little kid. I'm like, giddy up.
My speed. That's perfect speed.
Yeah. That's he'd be speed. Great for you.
Yeah. My
he
speed.
He would be great for you.
Nice and slow.
But it's been amazing. I mean, this whole thing, I tell everybody that if you're going to come and take one course, the special training is the one, because it's Monty teaching and he's working the horses. It's incredible. So, I'm honored to be here for sure. And I'm honored to be able to ride his horse. He thanked me afterwards. And I was like, did you just thank me for riding your horse? Here's $100. Yeah. Let me just give you $100 for riding your horse. Like, I feel like that's what I should do.
Well, that's terrific. I'm glad you're having fun. And we're going to get some questions answered on Friday, right? Is it?
Yes. Yeah? Okay. Yes. We are going to, if people have submitted some questions, and if you still have them, it's not too late, because I'm going to record it tonight with him. But it's our routine Ask Monty segment that we're going to do, where I sit down with him and ask him some of your questions and your training stuff. And then he rolls his eyes at me like it was me. So
this he's makes like, you nervous doing this, doesn't it?
Totally. Oh my gosh. Like, sit in a quiet room with your hero and interview him. It's a nightmare. So, but I'll do it.
Question, but I think what makes it hard too is these questions he's answered 1 million times.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He doesn't roll his eyes at people wanting education. He rolls his eyes at like, oh God, Jamie, seriously? I've answered, like, read my book.
You yeah, know? Exactly.
He's kind enough to just answer the questions and
he's only doing it because it's time. You though. That's the only reason. He wouldn't do it for me. He would do it for anybody else.
I doubt that. He wouldn't do it for you.
No, but he would do it for
anybody else.
Well, we're going to, actually, our second guest has canceled. I just got word. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to head over to Elisa Wysocki. I'm going to call her on the air because Jennifer is still off. Did I tell you why Jennifer, by the way, was not with us today?
Yeah, well, I said it earlier. She had to get a Coggins.
Yeah, did I tell you she had to get the Coggins at 9 o'clock in the morning? Because she's going on a hunter pace this Saturday and woke up in the middle of the night two nights ago and thought, I'm not sure my Coggins is good. I think
hashtag
it's expired.
Stuff that wakes up a horse chick in the
exactly.
middle of the night.
Exactly. So she went out and looked, and sure enough, it had expired in March. So she called the vet office. Can you come out? Well, the only thing I can do is 9 o'clock in the morning, and then we're going to have to pay extra to have it overnighted.
Stat so, Coggins.
There
that's
we
what
go.
It's called.
That's nice. Why. That's why Jennifer is not here, because she forgot. Nobody in this audience has ever forgotten to have their Coggins renewed.
I would never.
No.
Never.
That's never.
And then like, oh crap, I need a health certificate tomorrow too. Crap. So get your health cert if you need one.
Well, we're so excited after these many years to be reading a book again on the show. As we talked about at the beginning of the show, we'd done this once before, but now it's actually a book I'm excited about. And we got the author of the book and a regular co-host here. She fills in for Jamie almost all the time, and that's Lisa Wysocki. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you guys?
I never thought that we would get permission from your publisher, one, to do this. I would have asked a long time ago.
I have the best publisher.
You do, because not too many would say yes to what we're about to do.
Yeah. Yeah. My publisher, Cool Titles, is so creative, and they are so invested in out-of-the-box kind of marketing and PR ideas. So this is just perfect. We're so excited.
Well, and it works out great for us because this is a series of books. We're going to start at book one, and we're going to read a chapter a week. And there's like 30-some chapters in this first book, so it's going to take us, you know, better part of a year to do this. And we're going to do it every Wednesday at the end of Wednesday. So like 10:15, 10:20, every Wednesday toward the end of the show, Jamie is going to read a chapter of the book. Well, tell us, first of all, where the inspiration came from for Cat Enright in this series of books. You know, what started the inkling?
Well, many years ago, it took me about 17 years to get the book published, and it went through, I don't know, like a bazillion different rewrites, and deservedly so, because the first version wasn't great. But about 22 years ago now, I guess, I had a series of insomnia-filled nights where I just couldn't sleep. And so I started reading some mysteries just to kind of, you know, pass the time from 2 to 4 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, I finished one, and I thought, you know, I could do better than that. And immediately, Kat popped into my head. It was like she was born in that instant inside my head. And she's been talking to me ever since.
Jamie, you just need to write a book. You can't sleep either.
See?
I'm going to say, is that what I need to do from 2 to 4?
Yes. 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 Of course, the problem then becomes I got so excited after. And I did write from 2 to 4 for months after that. But by 4 o'clock, I was so excited and jazzed. I mean, I was up for the day. So
so you basically got no sleep.
No sleep.
You know what? That'd be a difference than waking up at 4, you know, being at 4 o'clock being excited and jazzed, because I'm up anyway. Might as well be excited and jazzed.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And so Kat has just been talking to me about her adventures ever since then. And she's introduced me to all these friends of hers who are kind of bizarre characters, and Sally Blue, the possibly psychic horse. Some people think that she is, and some say, nah, she's just a mare. And you know, I don't know. So
isn't it funny, mare, Glenn, how authors kind of sound crazy when they're talking about their people?
Yes. It does. You know, and so that we ask authors this all the time, and I know I've asked you before, but for new listeners, do you have an outline of the whole book, or does Kat talk to you and that's the way it goes and you don't know the end?
Yeah, you know, I write fiction and nonfiction, and my nonfiction horse books, I do have an outline because the publishers require that. They want to know what they're buying. But for the Kat Enright books, absolutely not. I just sit down there and Kat just tells me what to write. And I take that back. I usually know at the very beginning who the murderer is, and I usually know kind of what the ending is. And I often have kind of an opening scene, but
there's a murder in this?
There is a murder.
What?
Now, what's really cool is we're in these books.
Yes.
So listeners are going to want to listen every week to see where we pop in. And you know, that's how long we have been hanging out with you, come to think about it.
Yeah, this came out in 2011. And I will say that in the book version of The Opium Equation, Kat hasn't yet met you guys. But for this particular event and this reading, I'm writing a special scene where Kat actually meets you guys.
Cool.
Yeah. It's going to be so much fun, and listeners are going to have to check in, and I know a lot of the listeners have read the book, but they're going to have to kind of listen every week to see if, oh, maybe this is the week that Kat meets Glenn and Jamie.
Oh, my God. Am I going to do voices of Glenn and me? Because Glenn, I'll make sound terrible, and me, I'll just... Hello.
Like
just my name is Jamie.
She'll do the sexy voice.
Hello there. How are you?
Now, so were you were Jamie. A listener to our show too before you ever became a co-host?
Oh, absolutely. I've been listening since day one. I've been a fan of Horses in the Morning and the Horse Radio Network since you guys first went on the air. And I mean, just what a great service you provide, because it's so much fun, number one, but then you learn while you laugh, and it's just great.
Well, this is exciting.
Thank you. That's a nice compliment.
We're very excited that you first of all got permission for us to do this. Where can everybody, so if they start getting into this and we're into chapter 2 and 3 and they're like, I can't wait, they can actually buy the books, right?
Absolutely. In stores and online everywhere. I always direct people to Amazon because they typically have free shipping, which I love. And also, they often have the best prices. But your local bookstore, if you want to support your local bookstore, which I encourage too, if they don't have it on the shelves, they can order it. So anywhere books are sold, the books can be found.
And, you know, just to elaborate on that, this is a mainstream book. This isn't just a horse book, which is very cool.
No, it's a mainstream book. And it, you know, if you like horses, that's great. If you just like mysteries, that's great too. You know, you just start reading and hopefully Kat will just suck you in like she did me.
She'll talk to you too.
She will, yes.
And then if you guys buy the book and you read ahead, you can totally critique the way I'm reading it and post nasty things about me on Facebook.
Now, send it to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com.
Oh, yeah.
She has the complaints department. Yes. I think she actually had a couple complaints come in this week, so we'll be reading those on Friday too.
I love complaints.
and I don't think they were complaints about us. I think they were just complaints. So
that's the fun part is you can send any complaint.
That's right.
If you just have a complaint, you're like, wow, somebody says you complain a lot. You're our guy.
That's right. Well, Lisa, thank you so much. LisaWysocki.com is the website where you can go find all of the books and all the information. And we really appreciate you joining us and kicking this off with us.
Oh, well, I just can't thank you guys enough for doing this. This is just so exciting for me, too. I'm going to be listening in every Wednesday. Absolutely.
No pressure.
Yeah. She's the one going to be writing the complaints. God, Jamie, you suck.
Seriously, though, like, you can totally complain, and you just send it to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com, and then she puts it in the complaint box.
located we never really under her see desk. Those too much, do we? Yeah.
You guys are so awesome. Thank
All right,
you.
Thanks, Lisa. Take care. Bye-bye. All right, everybody. Well, Jamie's going to read that in just a minute, but we're going to end the show here officially, and then she's going to read the final chapter, and then we're out for the day. And that's the way we're going to do it every week. So it is Friday coming up, and we are going to be doing some really bad ads. Jamie will be reading them from Monty's Place. So if you want to get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com, we will be drawing the winner this week too. So maybe if Debbie's still there on Friday, she can pick the winners if she's still around. Oh. Okay. On Friday.
You're here Friday, right? All right. You're picking the winner for really bad ads.
Yeah, good. So we'll have Debbie pick the winners, but you still have a chance to get your entries in. And don't forget, if you record them yourself, then you get multiple entries. You get two entries for every submission that you record yourself. Does that mean last week we have to give a certain someone about 20 entries? Gemma?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I was like, who are you talking about?
We have to give Gemma about 20 entries for being here and reading all the ads.
I guess so. Yeah.
All right. So do that. And that's it for today, everybody. And now we get to the first reading of the book, The Opium Equation by Lisa Wysocki.
The rock was the size of a baseball. It missed my driver's side window by inches, skimmed over the roof of my truck, and landed in the ditch. I skidded to a halt and threw open the door. The little menace had it coming. The little menace was Bubba Henley, a 10-year-old who lives two farms up from mine. I caught him by the back of his shirt 50 feet up his father's driveway. His father, Hilton Jefferson Henley III, was a tall, skinny, balding piece of trash. The first three characteristics were obvious. The last part was my own conclusion. Hill Henley professed to be a trainer of Tennessee walking horses, but he really was a bully who cowed his clients' horses into obedience. Did I mention I didn't like him much? Hill's farm was typical for walking horse trainers in Middle Tennessee. small house shadowed by a long barn with a wide aisle that served as an indoor training arena. The Henley farm also had a profusion of rebel flags, a tribute to Hill's distinguished Confederate ancestors, a fact he never failed to bring up in any conversation. "Bubba," I said as I grabbed him by the back of his shirt, "if you throw one more rock in my truck, I'll have you locked up in juvie jail until you're 30. "Go ahead, Cat," he said, calling me by the nickname I'd had since infancy. "Go ahead, I don't care." And the truth was, he didn't. Even though a mixture of rain and sleet fell on this cold February morning, Bubba wore only an old Walking Horse Celebration t-shirt, jeans that had a long ago seen better days, a filthy Atlanta Braves baseball cap, and a tennis shoes with holes along the front and sides. Bubba still held the long, wooden, narrow twitch, a tool normally used to restrain horses during veterinary procedures, that he used to bat rocks at passing cars. I was so mad at Bubba and his dangerous prank that I could have thrown both Bubba and the twitch across the road. The sad fact is, I doubted his dad would care, nor would his mother, who had become fed up years ago and left Bubba and Hill for a better life in parts unknown. But one had to try. "I'm going to talk to your dad about this," I said, as I snatched the twitch out of his hands of the heir of the Henley clan and stalked past the troubled youth towards his house. "He ain't here." "What?" I asked, still walking, not fully hearing. "My dad ain't here," Bubba shouted. "He took a mare to Shelbyville last night to get bread, and he ain't back yet. He's been slower than cold molasses to getting back, he has." Shelbyville is a small town, an hour's drive southeast of Nashville, and a good hour and a half from our neighbor northwest of Nashville. It is the center of Tennessee walking horse industry. Bubba's voice held a touch of concern, and I guessed, in spite of everything, that he loved his dad. This wasn't the first time Hill had stayed out all night cruising bars and going home with who knows what. He even got himself shot once, overslept, and the lady's husband found him. Fortunately for Hill, the husband had poor aim and didn't hit any vital parts. Many Southerners talk about the Civil War or the War of Northern Aggression as if it was a recent event. Hill was no exception, and according to Hill, his ancestors saved our neighborhood from battle during the war. But the truth was that the Henley family used every opportunity the war presented to gain from their neighbors' misfortunes. Our area had not seen gunfire because of a nearby powder mill that supplied gunpowder to both the Union and Confederate armies. As neither army wanted to cut off its supply of ammunition, both stayed clear of battle here. The great statesmanship of the Henley clan had nothing to do with it. Not much had changed for the Henley family in the last 150 years. Hill was out for everything he could get, and it looked as if the latest generation would be no different. I sighed and handed the makeshift bat back to Bubba. The kid needed love and counseling, neither of which I could give. Unlike his emaciated father, Bubba carried a few extra pounds, undoubtedly the result of ingesting one too many frozen pizzas. I realized the way to get through to this kid and prevent my truck from future assault was through his sizable stomach. So I did the unthinkable and asked if he wanted to join me in town for breakfast. Bubba gave my offer serious thought, but declined. "I need to stay home and wait on my dad. But hey now, if my dad ain't home by noon, I might wander on over for lunch." "Okay," I replied, "but you have to promise to leave me and my horses off your prank list. Agreed?" He nodded his assent reluctantly, but then perked up. "Maybe I'll see you later. Bodies got to eat sometimes, don't they?" Those words would soon come back to haunt me.